Welcome to The Flatline with your host, Rick Hughes. For the next 30 minutes, you'll be inspired, motivated, educated, but never manipulated. Now, your host, Rick Hughes.
Morning, and welcome to The Flatline. I'm your host, Rick Hughes, and for the next few minutes, please stay with me. As usual, it will be some time of motivation, inspiration, some education. And you know, we don't use manipulation on this show. We don't try to con people. We're not trying to solicit money. We're not trying to sell you anything. We're not trying to ask you to join anything. This show is asking you to listen. Listen to the teaching of God's Word. That's my entire objective, to give you the Word of God that will help you verify and identify His plan for your life, if you're interested. And if you are, you have the freedom and the privacy to orient and adjust to the plan. That's always up to you. But our show is called The Flatline because we use a military analogy called FLOT, F-L-O-T, which is short for the forward line of troops. And the forward line of troops is the way we're teaching it. The metaphor that we're using is a main line of resistance. You can have a main line of resistance in your soul made up of 10 unique problem-solving devices. And when you learn them and use them from the Scripture, this is not something we made up. These are biblical Bible verses, concepts that have always been in the Bible, but no one's put them together very much like this. Now, my pastor did this years ago, and he gave me permission to teach it. He put together these 10 problem-solving devices called the Flatline of your soul. And they deal with rebound, problem-solving device number one, the ability to confess your sin to God. That solves the problem of the believer committing sin. And then we have the filling of the Holy Spirit, problem-solving device number two. And that deals with the believer having to operate in the energy of the flesh or whether he can operate under the filling of the Holy Spirit. And then we have faith rest drill, problem-solving device number three. And this allows the believer to operate in the power of faith, not in the power of the energy of the flesh. And then we have problem-solving device number four, grace orientation. This is where the Bible mandates in 2 Peter 3:18 that we grow in grace and in the knowledge of God's Word. We're mandated to do that. So when you come to understand grace, then we move to doctrinal orientation or biblical orientation. And that's the sum total of God's Word that we have to learn. So when we learn that, we replace what we think with what God thinks. So instead of having human viewpoint, we have divine viewpoint. And this leads us to our sixth problem-solving device, which is having a personal sense of destiny, so that we begin to understand what our life is about, where we're headed, where we're going, how we get there. And then number seven, personal love for God, the motivational virtue of any Christian's life. Personal love for God. If you love me, you will obey me, the Bible says in 1 John 5:3. So it's critical that we understand personal love for God as a motivational virtue. Impersonal love for others, problem-solving device number eight. And that's how you love a jerk, a weirdo, maybe even a family member that you can't stand. But the Bible says you've got to love your enemies. So how do you do that? And then problem-solving device number nine, sharing the happiness of God. And problem-solving device number 10, being occupied with Jesus Christ. All these are put together in a book for you. If you would like to have it, it's called A Christian Problem-Solving Workbook. We'll be glad to send it to you free of charge. But learning those 10 problem-solving devices, utilizing them on the flat line of your soul, using them as a main line of resistance. Main line of resistance will stop the outside sources of adversity before they become the inside source of stress. That main line of resistance will allow you to interpret and realize when you're being tempted and to avoid the temptation or falling victim to the distraction that Satan may send your way. It's critical as a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ that you have a main line of resistance because there's a spiritual war going on. the flesh, the Bible says, wars against the spirit. The spirit wars against the flesh. These are contrary one to the other. So it's critical that we understand this. And it's critical that you have a main line of resistance in your soul. Now, the soul is the critical thing that we're talking about in the last two radio shows. And I would like to continue this today. We have written a book called Understanding Your Soul, and that is available. Again, all you have to do is request it. It's free of charge. But the soul is the invisible, immortal part of you. No one can see it except God. But it is the part of you that is going to live forever along with your human spirit if you are in fact a believer in Jesus Christ and have been born again. If you have not been born again, then you are spiritually dead. Your human spirit is dead. But if you're born again, your human spirit is made alive by means of God the Holy Spirit who indwells you. So you know with certainty that anybody who can fog up a dental mirror is alive. And if you're alive, you have a soul. Now we have to understand that all souls are not the same. They all have the same compartment. I mean, everyone has self-consciousness. Everyone has volition. Everyone has mentality. Everyone has conscience. We've talked about these. But the thoughts that fill a soul make the difference. So the soul of an unbeliever is filled with the sin nature, while the soul of the believer can be filled either by the Holy Spirit or by the sin nature. It depends on your volition. It depends on what you choose. But no soul can be partially filled with one and partially filled with the other. In other words, in the Christian life, you're either in fellowship with God or you're out of fellowship with God. You're either a spiritual Christian or a carnal Christian. I didn't say mature, I said spiritual. There's a vast difference between maturity and spirituality. Spirituality is when your soul is being controlled by the Holy Spirit. Maturity is when your soul is controlled by the Holy Spirit and you have a maximum amount of Bible doctrine in your thinking. That's maturity. So everyone has a different soul. Since you underwent a spiritual birth the minute you believed in Jesus Christ, you have a spiritual life. And that's what we need to understand, that God wants us to live that spiritual life that we now have so that every thought we have focuses on Him. We don't focus on ourselves. He wants us to make decisions based on His Word or the knowledge of His Word that is stored in your soul. And He wants your conscience to filter out the bad decisions that contradict His will. That's why we need to learn God's Word. And that's why it's critical, that you have a well-qualified pastor teacher so that all the garbage in your soul can be slowly replaced by the Word of God. Listen to Philippians 2:15. So that you may be blameless and pure, children of God, even though you live in the middle of a crooked and a perverse society, among whom you shall shine as lights in the world. You know, it's nothing worse than a flashlight that doesn't work. I do a lot of night fishing when I'm home, not traveling. I love to bass fish at night. And one of the most important tools that I have is a flashlight. I don't just have one. I have about 7 or 8 in the boat. And a flashlight with no battery that won't work is useless. And so the Christian that doesn't shine as a light in the world is useless. He's not useful. And so we have to keep our lamps lit. This is a metaphor the Lord Jesus Christ gave the servant waiting for the return of his master, keeping the lamp lit. But the spiritual life, it's lived in your soul. And it may be manifested in your body, but you're not a spiritual person because you walk around uttering spiritual phrases like, God willing, brother, and praise the Lord, sister, that doesn't make you a spiritual person. God only approves the soul that is ruled by the Holy Spirit and the soul that focuses on the Word of God, His Word. When you are ruled by the Holy Spirit, in other words, if you're filled by the Spirit and if you're focusing on God's Word, then you, then you're occupied with Christ because you are thinking not what the world thinks. You're not caught up in the garbage viewpoint of the world, but you're caught up in the viewpoint of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's why the Bible tells you, let this mind be in you that are also that was also in Christ Jesus. So a person that is a successful soul, a mature believer, he focuses on one thought. That's occupation with Christ, problem-solving device number 10. They're focused on Him. And that's why the Bible says in Philippians 3:1, finally, my brethren, keep on rejoicing in your occupation with the Lord. Mark 12:30 says, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength. So think look at it like this. My wife has sponges when she washes dishes. Matter of fact, we were shopping in the store the other day, and she bought a bunch of sponges. Think of your soul as a sponge, and it soaks up everything in its environment. Every sound, smell, action, word, every emotion, everything. If you choose to associate with mature believers, especially a mature pastor who can teach you the Bible, then your soul can soak up divine viewpoint. But if you hang out with unbelievers, people that don't believe in Jesus Christ, or you hang out with Christians that are carnal, believers that don't believe the way you believe, believers that violate the plan of God, then actually you're going to soak up a lot of human viewpoint garbage. So your soul is a sponge. And anyone who is a young Christian has to begin to learn God's Word. And sometimes they find human viewpoint thinking sweet. But God views those things as bitter and debilitating garbage. And so we must learn His Word. This is something I had to go through as a young Christian. Some of my Christian friends rejected me because I didn't buy into what they were believing. I didn't go for that. And I found someone that could teach me something, or they found me, and God brought me into the path of a person who was a well-qualified pastor, somebody that would teach me something so that I didn't get trapped in the emotional type of Christianity. I didn't get trapped into trying to performance Christianity. I got trapped into studying God's Word, learning God's Word, and using God's Word and teaching it to others. Now, if you're going to control your soul, you have to understand this. We must avoid those believers who don't serve the Lord Jesus Christ, the ones who serve their own emotions. Romans 16:17-18 warns you about this. It says, now I command you, brethren, fellow believers, be alert for those who cause dissension. Be alert to the obstacles contrary to what you've learned. Avoid those believers that do not serve the Lord Jesus Christ, but follow their own emotions and that serve themselves. It goes on to describe these people. Smooth talking, flattering speech. They can deceive the hearts of the naive, those who don't really know Bible doctrine. And so, it's inevitable for everyone, every Christian, that adversities and pressures will squeeze you, squeeze your soul. And the Word of God can squeeze out the human viewpoint garbage. But if you take it in, garbage never wins over anything. It just makes you a loser. That's why the Bible says, what does it profit a man to gain the whole world but forfeit his soul? What shall a man give in exchange for his soul? Mark 8:36-37. You know, your soul is the most valuable possession you have. And if you forfeit that into the lake of fire by rejecting faith alone in Christ alone, if you forfeit that by saying you don't believe that Jesus Christ is the anointed Son of God, then you are in essence mocking God. And the Bible says in Galatians 6, God won't be mocked. If you turn your nose up at God and you sneer, you give God the thumb, you don't have any other choice. But in your own arrogance, you think you're smarter than God. In your own arrogance, you think you can control the universe. You can keep the stars in line. You can keep the seasons in order. You think you can do a better job than God. You see, some people actually don't think there is a God. Some people think that they're smarter than any God. Well, it's our responsibility to not fall into that trap, but to exercise our spiritual thinking so that we advance and learn God's Word. So you have to focus your soul. Your focus must be on growing in grace and growing in the knowledge of your Savior, your Lord Jesus Christ. Even though you're surrounded by human viewpoint thinking, even though you're bombarded by the world, you must focus your soul and stay out of human viewpoint thinking. That's why the Word of God inside of your soul will form an invisible shield, a flat line, impermeable to even the most enticing garbage the world throws out. You want to hear one of the things the world throws out? Here it is. This is garbage. Listen carefully. Win the lottery and you'll be happy. That's garbage. First of all, you're not going to win the lottery. Secondly, unhappy people take their unhappiness with them even if they do win the lottery. If you think that money is going to make you happy, then you're thinking human viewpoint garbage. Here's another one. I love him or I love her and I'll change them. Well, you're not going to change anybody but yourself. You can't change anyone. And so we get all this weird thinking. God didn't send us, for example, as Christians. Here's human viewpoint thinking. We're supposed to clean up the devil's world. We're supposed to make people stop sinning. You're not going to clean up the devil's world. The devil was in business before you got here, and he'll be in business when you're gone. Your job is to represent Jesus Christ clearly, accurately, lucidly, and represent his life to the world. You see, Satan is a deceiver. He can disguise even the most repugnant, worldly thinking into some bright and appealing thought. But only when it reaches the soul can you begin to realize the filth revealed by your conscience. Listen to your conscience. Listen, if you've learned God's Word, listen to it, so that any wavering of your focus is immediately recognized, and acknowledge it to God. The Bible tells you in 1 John 2, don't love the world, and don't love the things of the world. Because if anyone loves the world, then the love of the Father is not in him. Because all that is in the world, the desires of the flesh, the desires of the eyes, the arrogance produced by material abundance, this is not from the Father, but is from the world. And the world is passing away with all of its desires, but the person who does the will of God will remain forever. What is the will of God? John 6, Jesus said, this is the will of the one that sent me, that you believe in me whom he has sent. It is God's will for you to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. The Bible says he is not willing that any should perish, but that all should change their mind regarding Christ. So a new Christian, a person who's just accepted Christ, he begins to focus and often fails because he doesn't get rid of all that human garbage that's still in his soul. If he keeps his soul focused on the goal of glorifying God to the maximum, and if he keeps taking in the Word of God, on a consistent basis, he will advance and glorify God. Listen to Psalm 86:11. O Lord, teach me how you want me to live, and then I will obey your mandates. Make me wholeheartedly committed to you. Teach me how to live. That's the job the pastor has. God appointed him. God equipped him with a spiritual gift. God gave him the ability to communicate his word. And if you are under that kind of man who's teaching you God's word clearly, then you're learning how to live and you're becoming wholeheartedly committed to him. If you are a mature believer, you know, even mature Christians, human viewpoint garbage periodically casts its spell on you. You want to hear some more of it? Human viewpoint garbage? Here you go. Let's try this one. Elect this man president and he'll solve the problems we have in America today. Well, that's a lie. The Bible says, cursed is the man that trusteth in man. The problem is not the president. The problem is the people that elected the president. That's the problem. And until this nation changes its focus, you know, Hosea 4 talks about why a nation is destroyed. And Hosea 4, 1 through 6 says, my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. Since you've rejected knowledge, I'll reject your children. This is what causes a nation to be destroyed. So if you think that politics is the answer to what's wrong with America, that's human viewpoint thinking. Kick it out of your thoughts. Keep your eyes glued on the goal. And the goal is this. Stay filled with the Spirit through Rebound. Take in God's Word every day under a qualified pastor as you study. And then you will grow and advance and begin to replicate the life of Christ. And get ready, because Satan will come against you with everything that he has to distract you, defeat you, discourage you, to make you shipwreck. You still have a volition. You still have a sin nature. You're still vulnerable to temptation. So get ready. But as long as you can remain in fellowship with God, as long as you can continue to learn God's word from a qualified pastor, you have a chance to pass and be a winner believer and glorify God to the max. 1 Timothy 4:10, this is the reason we labor hard and we persevere, because we have focused our confidence on the living God, who is the Savior of all mankind, especially of believers. So we can change the focus of our soul. We can change from living for today to living for eternity. We can change and become occupied with Christ, and then we can move towards really having true happiness. That's why Paul said, the very things that were an advantage, the very things that were an asset to me before I was saved, I now consider them to be liabilities because of Christ. More than that, I now regard all things as liability compared to the superior knowledge of which Jesus Christ my Lord is the source and the object, because of whom, Christ Jesus, I wrote off everything as a loss, and indeed, I consider all of it as dung, in order to gain Christ and to be found occupied with him, not because of having my own righteousness that was acquired by adhering to the law, but because of having that divine righteousness which is acquired from God based on the faithfulness of Christ. So my goal, Paul said, is to know him, to experience the power of his resurrection, to share in his suffering, and to become like him in his death. Wow. Keep your eyes on the goal. A soul that is focused on the Lord Jesus Christ to the exclusion of everything else. Now, your soul has an enemy. Very few souls remain focused on Christ Jesus, because the enemy is very clever. Seemingly innocuous and unremitting, but very clever. And there are four major enemies to your soul. I want you to learn these and recognize them. The first one is sin. That's a major enemy to your soul. The second one is arrogance, a major enemy to your soul. The third one is a system of Satan called evil, and it's a major enemy. And then lastly, you must be careful of emotion. All of these things can distract your advancement in Christ. All of these things can warp your soul and get you into soul garbage. The attack of the enemy usually initially zooms in on the soul of the unbeliever, using every trick Satan has to persuade the unbeliever to reject the message of salvation. That's why Paul wrote in 2 Corinthians 4, "Even if our gospel is veiled at all, it is veiled only to those who are perishing. In their case, the god of this world," that's Satan, "has blinded the mind of those who don't believe to keep them from seeing the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ Jesus, who's the image of God." And so there you have it. That's his objective, to blind the mind of the unbeliever. Many unbelievers fall in defeat before these satanic attacks, and they don't ever believe in Jesus Christ, never. Unfortunately, they will leave God no choice. Their souls will bake in the lake of fire. The moment they die, they will plummet straight into hell because they never had a spiritual birth. They do not have a one-way ticket to heaven. They don't, because they rejected Jesus Christ as their Savior. That's not to say that the soul enemies would ever cease fire when you believe in Jesus Christ either. Far from it. When you believe in Jesus Christ, the enemies of the soul will merely up the attack. They'll come at you harder. That's what you have to learn. You are a body. You are a soul. And you are, as a believer, a living spirit. I hope this is helping you understand who you are, and I hope it's helping you understand what God expects out of you. And I do pray you'll come back and stay with me. Until next week, this is your host, Rick Hughes, saying thank you for listening to The Flatline.
Thank you for listening to The Flatline with your host, Rick Hughes. If you'd like to contact Rick, please write to him at P.O. Box 100, Cropwell, Alabama 35054, or online at www.rickhughesministries.org.